Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's the Sideship Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, Kerry Warbis and Matthew Weir. So this week was a shit sandwich. We had parties at either end for the bread and in the middle, God knows what, I can barely remember. Guys, can you fill us in?
In the middle, we had Ardil's trousers coming off.
Yeah, that was okay, actually. Oh, thank you, Kerry. You're starting to bring me round after my miserablest beginning. So Ardil's playing of the Boris Johnson part in Ambridge's own little Carrygate, that was quite entertaining. Any other good stuff?
Do you think he purposefully sort of biffed her arm so the hot tea went on his crotch?
Oh, that old trick.
When you're doing palm reading, you know, we've all done it, haven't we?
Matthew, how do you enjoy scalding hot beverages being thrown in your lap?
Oh, God, I had a hot water bottle split on me about 2 years ago when I was in bed, and it went exactly where you wouldn't want it to go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, it was, and that is just a case of, like, get your kit off ASAP. So I'm surprised, but it was just the trousers, wasn't it? So it wasn't, I like the way Roy walked back in, and it was a bit of a rehash of the him and Lexi scene, wasn't it, with the trousers coming down. Do you recall that?
Yeah. I liked it when she just immediately went, get your trousers off, which I don't think I would do if someone spilt a drink.
Need the proper voice, Kerry.
Oh, get your trousers off.
Get your trousers off.
That's Sean Dyche telling Chris Wood to take an ice bath.
But then he said, Ardil said, they're off. And I thought, has Kirsty suddenly gone blind as well?
She couldn't read the signs, could she?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The thing about men's bodies is, like, you know, we're not the most beautiful of creatures, are we, really? You know, except for the sort of those, I don't know, a few athletes. I mean, but the average man is a fairly lumpen, unattractive creature, although that we don't really know that much about Adil, because it was kind of pitched as a sort of like a moment on their journey to romance a little bit. It's kind of fun moment of sort of intimacy and, you know, like them sharing, you know, a bit of fun. But I just, you know, I can't imagine anyone being sexy in that position.
But it's already been mentioned before a little bit that I've dropped me H's, that he is hot.
He is hot.
Yeah.
We have to be told, don't we?
She's come over a little bit of a flutter, hasn't she, before over him. Mm. Yeah. And then she enforced that when she was talking to Helen.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, it was lovely having Helen back, wasn't it, boys and girls?
Yes, I think I tweeted that very effect from the... from the cider shed Twitter. Roy was also massively awkward, wasn't he, in that he decided to cook a curry. I imagined Adil was going to get round there and Roy was going to be dressed in full Shawani, put up picture of the Taj Mahal all around the place,
yeah.
Done something to his face like Peter Sellers in The Party, and then like, we've got a Bollywood film-a-thon tonight, Adil, you up for that?
Why did he do that? Why?
If you went round to someone's house abroad and they'd done, like, I don't know, a roast or something, you know, you're not going to be sort of like dice, you know, sort of like, I mean, would you, it's not even that, is it? Because he's English, Adil's English. So it doesn't make any sense, this idea that he's never had a curry in someone else's house or never eaten a curry. Like, everywhere he goes, it's viewed as culturally insensitive for someone to give him curry. I didn't understand the offence that it was being offered.
Yeah, I don't know if it was it offence or more like he might be dead good at making them and mine's going to be really poor.
Yeah, I don't know.
Perhaps. But even that's a bit of a presumption.
It's very generous of you, Kerry.
Yeah, Oh, the weird thing was, well, one of the weird things of this week, when I was listening to that episode whilst cooking, and he sort of went, I've got coconut milk here, and I had a bloody can of coconut milk in my hand making a curry. I was Roy. But his was prawn and mine was chicken, so I can't tell you what a relief that was.
That might be the only time in your life you've ever had anything in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to think, what else could there be? Let's join the dots.
Have you ever been part of a
here we go,
nationalist youth organisation? That's not a no, Kerry. That's not a no.
Yeah, I was thinking then. No, I haven't.
Chelsea kind of, the idiom she used at the rave when she said, when life puts dog poo through your letterbox, you throw it all back. I was like, isn't that what Roy did to Usha?
Yes. Yeah, very clever. I loved the rave. That was hilarious. Russ played an absolute blinder.
I was thinking lots of kind things about Andonese. It was, yeah, he was brilliant. He really lent into it.
He certainly hinted that he was a bit of a raver in real life back in the day, didn't he, when he came on?
I did feel very sad when I heard Lily bump into Sol, because obviously we're all very fiercely protective of Russ, the character. And I was kind of like, oh, no, I don't want this to happen. But it seems inevitable, doesn't it?
Yes. And they keep drip, drip, dripping about their age difference and popular cultural differences. And every time that happens, I'm sort of a little bit inside dies thinking of him leaving us.
When you've got one of your toy boys on your arm, does this ever cause problems for you when you're out on the tiles, or do you just sort of try and stay on your neutral territory?
I don't think I've ever been out with anyone younger than myself.
Really?
Mm.
Never had a toy boy?
No, they've always been sort of 5 to 7 years older than me.
I'm glad you said years older, Kerry.
Actually, no, the kid's dad was 1 year younger than me, but not, you know, never any age gap going down.
Yeah. Permission for me and Matthew to be absolutely crushed.
You funny buggers. I thought you were just going to say permission for me and Matthew to list all the much younger women we've been out with.
It's all about the personality, Kerry.
Mm. But wasn't he sort of shouting, I love young people, when he was off his face?
I'm thinking of suing the scriptwriters, because they pretty much stole my entire script from my call-in at Primavera Sound.
Yes, they did.
There was, Matthew, Kerry and I were talking just before you popped on the line, and I was saying about how it's a bit of a dodgy look to basically be promoting kind of like being spiked as a positive. Like Russ is kind of like, you know, he's not enjoying himself, and then suddenly he gets a spiked drink and he's the life and soul of the party. I mean, it's true to life potentially, but it does, you know, it does send a complicated message about drugs in a, you know, in a world where it's normally not that nuanced. And of course, in Portugal, it's all legal.
But maybe he'll wake up in a sort of hedgerow with all his belongings having gone, or, you know, there might be more to come on the aftermath.
Well, Kerry, maybe we should cut to our waking up in hedgerows consultant, Matthew. He's the one who has the, you know, the most relevant and recent experience.
Yeah, I'm feeling it a bit today. It's all caught up with me. I was out at the Avalanches on, was it Wednesday? Can't remember. What's today? Friday. I think he'll feel a bit rough around the edges, won't he, when he wakes up in the morning? I mean, but we needed Russ.
Rough around the hedges.
Hey. Or Russ around the hedges. We needed him, because otherwise we just had Ben, who was on like a hate mission, wasn't he? Ben didn't get the memo. He didn't realise you don't take jellies till 5 a.m. when you want to come down. He took them before he got started. I hate everything. Everything's awful. I hate this repetitive electronic music. Oh. And then, you know, he had Josh there to cheer him up.
All of the Beth and Ben and Steph scenes this week, I didn't make any notes for whatsoever, because I don't care one little shit about it.
They're like chalk and cheese, apparently. Which one's which? Steph and Beth, that is.
I still like Steph more.
Yeah.
And but by the way, that's not me saying I like Steph at all.
Yeah. I mean, Beth is very sort of dry, isn't she? So she's more chalky.
Okay, let me put it this way, Kerry. Would you rather live in a world without cheese or without chalk?
Oh, that's obviously, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't need asking, does it?
Bye-bye, Beth. Bye-bye, chalk. Yeah.
I've told you before what chalk is in Portuguese, haven't I?
You did, but I can't...
Jizz.
Oh, nice.
So whenever in the old-fashioned classrooms, teacher, when the kids were behaving, the teacher would throw jizz at them.
The rave itself, though, the fact that Ruth wanted to, she did report it. I mean, yeah, I liked when David sort of went, you know what your mum's like.
Where was the rave again?
Bear Wood or something.
Oh, God, the whole thing. I mean, why? I don't know. Is it a thing again still? Has it ever gone away? Illegal raves? I don't know. I feel like it just went away. I felt like it did just because people were then doing, you know, legal ones. And it's fine. So is this true to life? Is this something that's come back?
Yeah, I think they still happen for sure.
Right.
It's just, you just need to know.
Mm.
It's. But yeah, that Ben did say, what, his mum ratted on them? And that was when David said, yeah, well, you know Ruth. She's a rat. She's a rave rat.
Mm.
But I haven't been to a rave where you can go up and request a song from the DJ. I don't know, maybe times have changed.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
oh, for God's sake, I missed that.
Ross wasn't digging the music. And I think either Lily or Chelsea said to him, well, if you go up there and ask him, he'll probably play some 90s rave for you.
Oh, Lily, get Betty Boo doing the do on. Come on, I love that song.
Yeah, imagine like climbing up the rig to chat to Spiral Tribe and asking for Girl from Ipanema or something. Can you play something I know?
Yeah, because when the music first began, it sounded like loads of fiddles. Did it to you?
What was the absolute banger that he was getting into at the end that you thought was ace?
Yeah.
I was sulking the whole time, so I was very, I wasn't really able to take a huge amount in. The same, it's my childish start to the episode. I said it's a shit sandwich. And like that was, it was the beginning of the week. I absolutely hated how awful Steph's party sounded. And then the same, I don't know, it just, I think it's the fact they always have had such a limited number of such a limited cast, and obviously there's a limit to what they can do in the sound booths. So more than most other scenes, these kind of big parties reveal the kind of limitations of the Archer's recordings. And obviously, you suspend disbelief, but it makes it a lot more difficult to be forgiving of all the little clumsy bits and bobs. I mean, for instance, and I don't want to sound cruel, Sol didn't exactly sell it to me, like the whole scene. That was particularly awkward. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it just both parties were just very unconvincing. Although I did enjoy the Russ stuff.
I think the Steph party was a lot less convincing than the Ray one.
I like the way David was just eating all the food from the buffet at a private party that he was only providing the venue for.
David must be like physically. He must be one of these builders who has like a full English every morning. So they've got arms that could sort of like, you know, lift giant haystacks just, you know, just on one arm, but then massive tits and a gut because he never stops eating. So you imagine he's got great big, thick, sinewy arms and then just this kind of bib of fat.
There was some crisis talks about 2 weeks ago, wasn't there? And in the middle of it, David went, is that bit of pork pie going?
But I did think that, Matthew, why, I've put it in block capitals, why are they at the do and eating the buffet?
Yeah, it was a bit strange, wasn't it?
I know there weren't many guests there. Perhaps they were thinking, oh, like it's barely even happening, so we might as well tuck in. But it was one of those where they had to sort of describe what was happening in front of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Stupid party, wasn't it?
Who does all the food when David and Ruth did these things? Surely that's something that would normally be worked into the storyline. It would be someone who's local that's providing
Fallon,
all this food for them.
Probably, would it be that they would rely
might
on?
Be
I don't know
Fallon's gone a bit nuts recently, hasn't she? I don't know if she's
you're right, Matthew. Do you want to
I just don't like what they've been doing with her character recently. No. But you know, I'll get over
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I felt about Lillian over the last couple of years, but I mean, it's like mourning for where Lillian's gone. No, I hope they don't take Fallon as far away from you as they've taken Lillian away from me.
Thanks, Peter. The description of what would be a failed rave by Russ was a load of hairy rural types with a box of beers and a sound system in the woods. I was like, that's a rave, mate. What are you talking about?
And that's probably what it was, wasn't it?
Isn't pilling a textile term, by the way? Or if I got that completely wrong.
Yeah, it is.
It's on jumpers.
It's like bobbles, isn't
it? It's jumpers. It's when you get those little balls on jumpers, isn't it?
No, that's what it is. It's like bobbles on clothes, isn't it? Pilling. Oh, geez, I should have worked the joke out of that. Never mind.
Yeah, because of the text. Do you mean because of the textiles exhibition he was going?
Yes. Yeah, that was the trade-off, wasn't it? Lily was going to go to the textiles. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that was very. I thought it was quite an endearing little scene between the pair of them. It made me think, oh, you do really get on because you can just be honest with each other about what you like and what you don't like. Even though it's leading to them probably about to split up.
I think I'm just I'm just looking at it through rose-tinted, not the other one that John Inverdale said, rose-tinted spectacles, because I think that I thought that, and my initial takeaway was that scene with Sol and then her coming back and Russ being all loved up was like, it's okay, it's going to be all right. Like, she's kind of stated her case, but maybe I'm just being completely naive in that sense.
Yeah, I think you are. I hope for that, but I do think there's going to be more and more of these things.
I don't care if Russ and Lily split up. I just don't want Russ to leave the village. I'd be perfectly happy for Russ to stay around, maybe end up in Jim's spare room, weirdly, you know, where that will be...
Volunteering in the shop.
I hear you used to rent that room out. It's like, well, you know, like Jim's heartstrings are tugged and he ends up in Jazz's old sort of like granny flat.
They did work together briefly on the play, didn't they?
Incredibly poorly. That Russ, what was it? Yeah, it was the immortal line.
Well, no, we said this Russ. It was in front of him. Yeah. He said it.
That's obviously not going to happen, but I'm not invested in Lily and Russ. I'm invested in Russ. And I worry that if obviously... Is he enough of a fixture in the village that the character will survive splitting up with Lily? Because obviously Lily's going nowhere.
Would he wish to stay in Ambridge if they split up?
Oh, who else would have him? I mean, we love him, but that's because we've got Stockholm syndrome and we're broken.
I did. That's true. We are. I did love it when he said, "Have you raved before?" No one would say that, would they?
It was a nice combination of kind of like awkward scripting, and I mean that in a good way, and then Anne-Denise leaning into it, just how much he sort of mangled the whole experience. And also very much called into doubt the idea that he ever was a massive raver who was well into it in the 90s. Like, I think he might have gone to Cinderella Rockefellers in Cambridge or De Niro's in Newmarket a couple of times. That might have been his massive raving experience.
Because he said he was on podiums with fluorescent face paint and glow sticks everywhere. I thought, you know, that's a stereotype and people who actually did do raving didn't really do that.
No.
Why did he keep calling her Money Penny?
Wasn't that a clumsy attempt to reinforce his age? Like, only a man of, you know, I mean, because I feel too young to make that joke. Like, I think that's sort of like my dad's age making that kind of joke. I don't think Matthew or I would ever... affectionately call a girlfriend Money Penny, as men, you know. What do you think, Matthew? I don't mean our personal taste. I mean being of our age.
No, only during role play.
Yeah, not again, Mariana. Just like, I'm so sick of being Bond.
That was clumsy then, wasn't it? Because she was like, I've never seen a James Bond film or something.
Didn't you have a Bond related? Incident this week, Kerry.
I bloody did. Yeah, my plumber. I tweeted that because his ringtone was the James Bond theme, and so I tweeted, "Is this a bad sign if your plumber has James Bond as their ringtone?" And got quite a lot of traction on that. Loads of people coming up with stupid Bond-related plumbing mixed-up titles. It was ace. I say ace, and Russ mentioned ace, didn't he, at the end?
I thought that. You said you do use ace a lot, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, me and Russ were like that. I think Lav and Let Die was my favourite.
That's very good.
I quite liked Tara came in with the Living Day Shites, which I thought was quite good. I had Shitting Daylight and Tara, who's what's her name? The blue. She's on Twitter, the Bluest Star. She's very, very good. She does DJing and pod stuff on horror movies.
Matthew, can you give us an improvised jingle, please, for Shite Talk?
Shite Talk.
Oh, can't you see? Curious than a shit on me.
There she blows.
Okay, I'll put some effects on that. Kerry, go on, give us the update. How's your...
The sewage update. My drains are clear, everybody. Yes. A plumber came round with the James Bond theme tune. He sort of went, oh, we'll have to get a drainage specialist in. Ripped up the lino. Underneath our kitchen, unbeknownst to me, was this massive manhole. Not a hole with men in.
I knew it.
Yeah. They all clambered out. And
I can actually visualise this, though.
Right near where my kettle is. Manhole, unbeknownst to us. All blocked up, all awful, revolting. They had to get their plungers out and rods and what have you.
What about the plumbing situation?
Yeah, and then, then he sorted the drain out. It's all unblocked and they have to come back and make the floor good at another juncture. Isn't it awful having work folk around your home? I hate it.
Yes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Haven't we been recently praised in our 5-star reviews for being the kind of people who sound like they could know how to communicate with the tradesperson? It was in our Instagram comments, wasn't it? Someone said it finally. We f***ed this right up, haven't we? Because the comment was, finally people who don't sound like they want to talk about their aga and they sound like they know how to talk to tradespeople. Last week, Peter's f***ing talking about cleaning his new oven. And now you're going on about hating having tradespeople around.
Yes, not because of the people. You should see me. I chat. My kids are so embarrassed. I find out loads of stuff about people. I'll talk to anybody, honestly. So I like that side of it. But, you know, there's that, it's just disruptive, isn't it? That you can't, like, use your kitchen. You can't even go and make a cup of tea. You tiptoe around upstairs and wonder when they're going to go. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I told you when I had Fred West round to paint the house. With his bangers. But yeah, also, Peter, you were saying as well, weren't you, that you always turn into this kind of Harry Enfield-style character when there's a workman about the place.
It's more my worry that I will. So I'm kind of I'm kind of projecting that concern onto the situation. But I'm definitely not one of these people who tries to kind of like, you know, sort of lad it up in an attempt to be kind of like, look, oh, I'm, you know, look, mate, if I wasn't so busy, I'd do it myself. You know, I'm not trying to sort of like, you know, be one of those people. But yeah,
I think he was surprised that I was so interested. I was fascinated by the drain. I was really sort of going, oh my God, that's really fascinating. And I think he thought, are you f***ing mental? Then I started videoing him doing the plunging.
You're doing such a good job clawing my children and my feces from that pipe. Do tell me, just, you know, such a good job.
Kerry has now set up an Only Drains.
Yeah, I can send you it. I can share it if you like. It's fascinating.
No, you're good. You're all right, Kerry.
Yeah, it's all right. I won't. Anyway, yeah, drains are great.
That's good. Okay, well, hopefully not a regular feature, Shite Talk, Kerry. Hopefully that's done and dusted.
Yeah.
I'll
go on then. Yeah, go on. It's a foot race, wasn't it? Who can do the shite segue?
I know.
You go for Matthew.
I was going to say, talking of Shite Talk, what did we think of the baby name suggestions for Tom
All
and Natasha?
All sorts seemed a bit silly, didn't it? As a name. Shouldn't you say, like Helen said, All Sorts?
Yes, but they did actually float the idea of having a Tony with a Y and a Tony with an I. I did actually say that they might go Tony and Pat.
Yeah.
And then they said it could be Pat and Pat. Sorry, you're getting into Pat Chat territory there.
Thank you for mentioning, because people want Pat Chat, so it's got to go in, love.
What patch? No, come on. One jingle an episode, surely. You've got to have some kind of standards. And we have very few.
General assets.
You've got to do what the fans want you to do.
All right, I'll chuck it in then. Pat chat. Pat chat. There you go. Was that? I'll either put it in or that'll do. One of the two. Because I've got to make the shite jingle now, Kerry, already. This is Saturday morning being, you know, burning up in front of our eyes.
They'll never nominate us for the British Podcast Awards if you don't do nice things like that.
Yeah, I can live with that.
Oh yes, we definitely have to put a link in the pod description.
Right, yes.
How to vote for that. I put it up on Facebook and we got quite a few people saying they've already voted, which is nice. Oh, okay. We don't expect to win, but it's just nice, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe next year, you know, we can be the Jarvis Cocker to Joe Rogan's Michael Jackson up on stage. And he can get his bum out, you know, if everything goes well.
We don't even have to be on the show for that to happen.
There was a lovely tweeter who was saying that they'd vote, they couldn't decide between us and Ambridge on the Couch, and that it was like having to make a decision between your two children. So she's voted for both of us. I thought that was good.
I mean, Ambridge on the Couch. I mean, the nice thing about you know, there's quite a few different podcasts, aren't there? I mean, this is not really, I mean, there's no overlap. So, you know, it's like pudding and main, isn't it? You don't have to forego one, just have pudding and main.
Mm. No, but they're nice. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, sorry. Another pair they're getting on well are Alice and Chris, which I have found difficult. I'm surprised to say this, but I think I preferred it when they were at each other's throats.
It's a right old about turn, isn't it? And wasn't he said, can you believe how easy this all is now? And 1,000,000,000 people went, no.
I believe I made that very point on our Twitter.
Did you, darling?
Yeah. No, I said, none of us can believe how easy this is.
Yeah, well, I do prefer it when they're rowing, but I did get sick of it too. A bit torn.
We have praised the actor who plays Alice to the high heavens over the last few years, but I think it's time to have a little bit of a break. Like, and it's not necessarily a criticism of the actor. It's just I've had enough of Alice. And also this latest version where her voice is always kind of crackling with kind of affection or concern is starting to get on my tits. And then Chris is kind of like, I'm just so happy and so concerned and such a good guy. It's like, fuck off. Just leave me alone.
That should be the trailer for the side shed.
But when they were going to go to, it was awful. I'm just remembering bits of it. Like she said, "Oh, we're going to the squirty water place, the where it comes out
kitchen.
The ground." Yes.
Why is that red-haired woman filming us?
She's very friendly.
And Chris was sort of going, "Oh, I wish I'd had that idea," and then started going, she'll need more than that on or something, and then backed up reverse because he was over fussing. So he's learning, isn't he, to not be a twat. But then when they sort of went, remember Rome? And they'd jumped into fountains there, and what an amazing time they'd had. And then they did it here as well.
The locals hated them. You know, they're going, oh my god, this is the best thing we've ever done, and all the locals are like, you absolute bell ends, you know, this is my council tax.
I was a little bit worried when Chris said he was dying to see the water fountain.
Oh yeah, again,
you're desperate to see this foreshadowing, aren't you, Chris's demise?
Yeah, but then they got the assessment, didn't they, which said no further action, which is exactly what Chris said to Amy.
Hey, and they sort of went, we've got a clean slate. It's like so neat and tidy.
No, you don't. There's a dossier in a filing cabinet in Borsetshire Social Services office with your names on it saying that you're terrible parents, and they just put a pause on it.
I'd like it if if the social services person was remote working and was like, I have just noticed you are drunkenly dancing in a water fountain. So you're taking Martha off of you.
Yeah. Also, they were right quick to, having fought for Martha, they've just farmed her off to Kate's toddler jib at spiritual home and have it, and she's having her overnight. Like, all right, then we'll go down to the pub. Like, did you want to spend time with her or not?
Yeah, and like, I mean, there's a lot of legwork to do if you're just going to say to someone, sorry, Kate was a bit odd. And that's like, since when? Since the dawn of time? Or just tonight when you did the handover? But I mean, a clear sign of a total sociopath is if you eat cod and chips in front of someone who isn't eating anything. That's just weird.
Mashing up those two plot lines, or no, mashing up those two comments, my little darling had a complete meltdown this evening because his mother, he had to share his fish and chips with his mother.
Oh.
Disaster.
Well, he was running around. I mean, he was like a little Hitler running around the house. Like, I mean, probably the first proper temper tantrum he's had maybe ever about something so random. I can understand how Chris and Alice are starting to see the benefit of letting someone else look after their children.
Was it on Cyrus's plate and then Charlotte was taking bits away from him, or did you split it in half and present it as two people?
The Friday evening routine is I go and get the fish and chips for Charlotte and him. It comes in a box and they split it. And he's obviously decided.
Ah, so this has been done a load of times before in exactly the same way. Okay.
So when while we're doing the podcast, they have fish and chips. So, but this week he's decided he's a big boy and he's not going to share his fish and chips with any f***er, least of all the woman who gave birth to him.
Fish chat.
He's growing up.
If you said to me, another human being didn't want to share their fish and chips, to Matthew's point, like, it's, you know, there's an emotional connection with your fish and chips, but it's just, you know, it's a bit of a shock when you when it happens. I mean, you know, Kerry, you've dealt with these meltdowns before. They're absolute bananas.
No, my two were great.
I forgot they never had a temper.
They were really good. My mum will testify for that. Mimi was a bit, she'd throw herself on the floor a little bit, but Max was an absolute darling dream boy. But do you have mushy peas? Can I just ask that, because I'm the only one who has mushy peas in our house.
Not a massive
frowned upon.
It's not guaranteed, but I prefer mushy peas, and I am quite upset when I go to a restaurant and they give me fancy mushy peas. Feel like saying, this isn't mushy peas. What you've given me is mashed up peas. These are two entirely separate foodstuffs.
Yeah, they've got to be sloppy and pale. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Can we get the fuck out of here without mentioning Vince? I don't think we can we? He was in it this week.
Oh, yeah. What did you think about how he handled his two daughters?
Well, you know, earlier on I said about Matthew's having Fallon taken away and they're doing the same to, they've done the same to Lillian for me. Forget that. The better example is happening right now with what they're doing to Vince. It was unlistenable.
At least we know how he made all his money. He hoarded loads of Nazi gold after the war and then sold it back to the Vatican. He said he was Switzerland.
I was absolutely lost then, Matthew. But that's a cracker. Thank you. Yeah, but is he Switzerland, though? He's not, is he? He's letting Steph get away with bloody murder.
Yeah, because there are crimes of omission, right? You know, by not doing anything, you're also doing something. So, he's being rubbish, and it's disappointing because it just doesn't make any sense that the man who won Elizabeth's heart and our hearts by being this kind of no-nonsense, honest, say-it-as-it-is, speak your mind kind of guy is now this sort of duplicitous do anything to avoid conflict guy.
I still think there's a Philip Moss style reveal.
No, how dare you? What, for Fallon? Yeah, you want to? Yeah, let's hope.
Did you think there was a funny bit where he first was talking to Lizzie or Elizabeth on the phone and it sounded like he was Davros or something, or he was in a bumper car?
Well, there was drilling in the background, wasn't it? But I was doing something in the kitchen, and I thought that was Beth wailing. And it was only on the second time round, I was like, oh, it's the workman in his house.
It sounded like he was in a mobility scooter or was Davros. But yeah, it was drilling, sort of off mic. Yeah.
Can I do one of the adverts I get whenever I listen to the podcast? I get this one. Is your country turning into a dystopian nightmare? Well, buy gold then. Gold's good. Gold's a great investment. Gold will survive the collapse of any civilization. Gold. Have you heard that one?
No.
I have not, but is that a Vince Casey ad?
No, but you reminded me with the Switzerland.
I've got friends that have invested in gold, actually. And I meant to ask them about that recently, because apparently it's always on the up, isn't it?
It tends to be the place that gold does very well in times of trouble, because it's considered it's a safe bet, I think is the idea. But
I bet you Vince wears gold. He will have. He's the sort would have like a sort of little sovereign ring and a chunky chain.
He looks like a combination. He looks like a cross between my brain's turned to shit. I had it and it's gone. He looks like a cross between Mike Reed and Bobby. Oh, what's the name of the darts player, Matthew?
Bobby Ball?
No.
Bobby Gillespie?
No. He's a lovely man.
Bobby Moore.
I don't know the darts.
Bobby George.
Oh my goodness, I know who that is.
A lot of gold, those two. But yeah.
I used to see him as the Harry Enfield, richer than Yao character, but now I see him more. Actually, it ties in with Mike Reed a bit. I see him a bit more as Dave Angel, Eco Warrior from the Fash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he's kind of a minder bloke with the camel coat to me, as I've said before. So that's all a conglomeration of all of those we've just mentioned, isn't it, really? Mm. He is. Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyway, they need to get him back on track.
Do you not think Elizabeth is getting disappointed?
Yes,
in
I think she's. I think the whole. I think she's basically experiencing the same thing as me. The whole point of Vince is that he's this kind of straight shooting, get it done guy, and that's a change. You know, for as much as she loved Nigel, it's quite natural she would then want someone who's a counterpoint. I think that sort of, or you know, it makes sense plot wise anyway. But no, he's now being this kind of airy fairy sort of. Pile of nonsense, but anyway,
he's blindly sort of going, it's family,
that's all bollocks,
and not
isn't
seeing
it?
And not seeing that Ben is actually a good sort and wouldn't ever really do this, and that's annoying Elizabeth.
It's such shite, because it doesn't matter how much you love your family, you know who they are, right? And the idea that you just park all common sense to just blindly support your family no matter how badly behaved they're being. I mean, of course you can support your family and not agree with them at the same time. Mm. It's mental. And in fact, as a parent, shouldn't this is the perfect, actually the more difficult thing to do is actually roll up your sleeves and say to your child, look, I love you, so I'm going to tell you some difficult things.
Definitely. And that's why Steph is how she is. And Beth.
Yeah. Surely Mark Casey's going to make a return and crack some heads together. That would be quite good and make sense.
Old Iris. Yeah.
I can't imagine she puts up with any nonsense.
You'd hope so, because Beth's gone off with her, hasn't she? Mm. So maybe that'll happen.
Well, shall we see if there's one of those gold adverts that I mentioned?
Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Which ones do you get?
I get either Asda or Make a Podcast or Josh Widdicombe's podcast.
Yeah, Matthew gets the sound of silence, doesn't he?
Yep, I don't get any ads on my version of Spotify.
Oh, poor Matthew. Never mind. Mm. It's a bit hard. It's a cross to bear. So we have talked lots about all the Twitter action that goes on. Kerry, if someone wants to join in, where do they go?
Come along to @thecidershedpod on Twitter. Always increasing, ever increasing numbers. I can't remember what the number is, but it's big. Very, very healthy. It's a big number. Yeah, and it's getting bigger, Abe.
Is that what your plumber said?
Yeah. Oh, and before we move on, I just want to say thank you to the latest 5-star reviews that have dropped through by Podcast Mum, Merle with 2 L's, and Joe Lee. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Keep them coming.
I've said this many times now, but only because it's true. We really do get a massive boost when we see those, because it's, it does remind us why we turn up and talk shite.
There is a link in our podcast description, which if you follow that, you can directly leave a review in Apple Podcast, iTunes. And you can also follow us on Facebook. We have a group called the Cider Shed Podcast. And our Instagram is the same as our Twitter, which is @thecidershedpod. So we're ever-growing numbers on there. Lovely words in relation to leaving reviews. Thanks to everyone that got in touch. There's a lot of people that said they've already left reviews and a vote in the podcast awards as well, which is very nice.
Yeah, and if you want to tell me to stop being such a miserable bellend and just to enjoy the Archers for once, then an email can come to us at hello@thecidershed.com, and always much appreciated. Thank you very much. So, guys, I mean, what are we hoping for next week? There were some things I enjoyed from this week. Like, what was it you reminded me about? Like, I tell you what, one thing I absolutely loved. I loved Chelsea giving it to Steph, and I loved Chelsea bouncing around in the club. So a big chunk of Chelsea next week would be very much appreciated.
She called Russ Russell. That was funny.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to Buffalo laying eggs made of mozzarella around the farm.
I'm looking forward to Buffalo stampeding and killing Tony.
The return of Otto the Bull, but in Buffalo form. The reincarnation of Otto the Bull. Oh, God. Thank you, Matthew. That'll keep me going all week. Just the thought of that.
As if you can just buy a couple of buffalo and start making mozzarella. You know, that was daft.
I do remember some guy... some farm near Bristol was like years ago did this in Points West, which is the BBC version of local news down there. And some reporter unwisely went to report directly from the field, and they started stampeding towards him, and he had to leg it.
I got attacked by a llama once, and yeah, it got me out that I had to flee for my life. But yeah.
They can alpaca punch. Just be careful.
All right, shut it down. See you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Put a courgette in it.
Bye.
Bye.